Fitness, your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio. Channel Radio. Channel Radio.
Who cares when? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio. On the bright side.
Good afternoon and welcome to Who Cares Wins. We're live at the studio on Monday. The date is 14th of December. We're heading towards the C word. And joining me in the studio, I am welcoming back Angela Bryan Stevenson, whose favourite word is
Christmas! Ting, 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 ting. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to be back in the Channel Radio studio again.
Welcome back, Angela. We have missed you.
Thank you.
Hoping you're...
That's about it now. I have to go and sleep.
Okay. So she'll be quiet for the rest of the show,
folks. That's it. Yep. Bye.
But we're not alone today. We have two great guests with us in the studio, the Legal Eagles, who are Argo Life and Legacy. We have in front of me Kelly Duke. Hello, Kelly.
Hello. Good morning.
Now, we met at the Health and Wellbeing Studio. No, Health and Wellbeing Symposium, even. It's all these S's a few weeks back. And you looked... petrified when I suggested you come on the radio.
Yes, very much. Probably still am.
But we did a taster interview at the time, which
I'm looking after.
And it obviously worked because you're nice and cool and calm and relaxed today. And you've brought along with your great friend Simon Crooks. Hello, Simon.
Hey. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, good Simon. To meet you today, and thank you for coming
and
down.
You.
So between you are Argo Life and Legacy, and we've been tweeting like mad about all or some of the things that you do, and we're going to find out an awful lot more about what you do today. But as regular listeners will know, we like to know the people behind the service, the business, whatever it is you might be.
Who are they?
Who are these people? So... whether you want to talk over the top of it, they've been talking over the top of each other all morning.
Do,
these guys.
I noticed though that the women dominate, Jan. The women dominate.
Do you want to go first?
No, it's fine. You start.
They do a double act, so be prepared for the double act to kick in.
Go on, Simon.
Let's take you back.
Right.
Where did you start?
Where did
in life?
I start? If you want to go all the way back, I guess it was round about when I was 15, and I shadowed a criminal barrister around the courts of London. I was very, very lucky to have a 2-week.
Is that a work experience?
Work experience, yeah, when I was at school. And I absolutely fell in love with it. I thought, you know, at that early stage, I thought that, you know, having a job where you could not be tied to a desk, where you could actually help people and so on, I just thought that was brilliant. And that's what got me interested in law. But at the same time, I didn't want to just go and do a law degree and become a lawyer. So I challenged myself. I did, of all things, a politics degree.
Of course.
Let's be honest, it was more fun. what is politics but making up stories and arguments? And having done that, I then had to convert over to law. So it was a conscious decision to do law. And I was attracted by all the bright, glossy prospectuses of the, you know, the large legal firms and all the money that would flow into my pocket. And then I ended up doing... You know, so I wanted to do corporate and commercial law. That was all the glamorous bits. Mm-hmm. But I ended up doing yet more work experience at another criminal firm in London, and I just found my way into doing private client work. So actually working with private individuals rather than doing any of the glossy, glamorous stuff. Mm-hmm. And I found that I really, really enjoyed it. And one of the things that I liked about the criminal law side of it as well was that the variety of people and work that you get. And I often found myself sat behind barristers in courts, and I would be called upon to explain in plain English what the barrister had said to the client. And that was one of my great strengths. I was able to distill fairly complex legalese into fairly simple, I hope, and understandable English. And it was sort of through that I fell into the private client end of it. I mean, even saying private client, what on earth does that mean? But it was just, you know, law for individuals, so wills and powers of attorney and estate administration. And I just found that I actually really enjoyed the work, mainly because of the variety of people that you meet, and you actually feel that you're helping them. And it sounds really trite, but that's the absolute truth.
And I guess, as you say, no two people are the same. So you could do 100 wills a week, but the people behind those have stories, reasons for putting that together.
Absolutely. I mean, you go from one end of the scale where you're doing, you know, tax mitigation or estate planning or what have you, to the other end where you're called out to do a deathbed will, and, you know, at the last minute, as it were. So, yeah, there's a whole range of things that you go through. And as I say, I just found that I really, really enjoyed it.
Excellent. And your partner in crime.
Your partner in crime.
Sorry, that I promise I will try and be my last one, but I can't promise.
I'm very, very different, actually. I haven't come to where I am through the conventional channels at all. So I didn't go to university to start off with. I started life as a legal secretary, have learnt and qualified whilst I've been working. So I've taken exams whilst I've worked full time in various different positions within law firms, qualified as a legal executive many years ago, worked my way up through law firms and finished off by doing my law degree about 3 years ago.
Right.
So my route is completely unconventional, which sort of matches where I am.
Thank you. Easy route, university.
Yeah, my
working
route,
and studying,
hard work, study, running houses. All those sorts of things that go with it. But again, very much like Simon, I didn't choose necessarily to specialise in elderly advice. Things tended to find me. I think it's because I'm quite patient, quite tolerant, fairly easy to talk to, and people open up and they tell me things that they don't tell other people.
Right.
And that's how I've been able to sort of get to where I am, where I can troubleshoot a lot more. So I'm a very different lawyer to what you would find in a normal conventional law firm.
Right.
And I think that's one of the reasons why the two of us have had a look at what we can do together and have developed Argo and set that up, because
and
we are
how did
different.
You come across each other?
Working.
Yeah. Well, I was actually I was so from London, I chased a girl to Suffolk of all places. And
did you catch her?
I did catch her. I caught her. And she's happily married to me, thank God, for which I'm very, very grateful.
I'll ask her when we get home.
That'll be after the bottle of wine I've put down her throat. But yeah, no, in Suffolk, I actually ran a private client team across actually the whole of East Anglia.
Right.
And I was bringing together a post-merger team. So it was two firms that had merged, and I was pulling together the private client team from both sides, making them, you know, into a team. And I think through that, I'd always been a bit like Kelly, a bit of a troubleshooter. And I always like to, from my own experience, sort of put myself in the shoes of the client and say, right, what would a client expect? What would a client actually want? And how do we deliver that to them? And then you look very critically at the way that you do things and you make changes. And so I spent 3.5 years up there changing, you know, bringing together a team, but also making them significantly more client friendly in the way that we did things. And then, you know, as you do in life, we had children, and we wanted to move closer to relatives, so we moved down to Kent, and I joined a large law firm here, which Kelly was working at.
Okay.
And my task there was very similar, actually. It was to, again, look at the way things were being done and to move them forward into the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent, good two years doing that. But one of the first people that I met, in fact,
unfortunately, it was me.
It was Kelly. And she stuck her head above the parapet before I'd even joined the firm, because she looked at my profile on LinkedIn, and she was the only one that did.
Because I need to know who I work with. I can't work with anybody. I'm quite
fussy. Absolutely.
Yeah, but clearly didn't realise it would then show up on my screen that she'd done that.
Well, you know, I don't do IT. It's the one thing I can't deal with.
You can't secret stalk on Twitter.
No, you can't. But it was an absolute blessing, I think, because we're very like-minded in the way that we approach things. And it was very clear that, you know, Kelly is a very special lady.
Oh, that's really nice.
No, but you
He's
are.
He's only saying that because it's on radio.
True. But, but neither of us are very conventional. I challenge the way things are done, and you are a
mad
challenge. Yeah. So that's where we met, and it was a case of again, looking at the way things are done and driving things forward. I mean, even having an elderly and vulnerable, it's a horrible phrase, but having a specialist elderly and vulnerable team, which you were heading up, is unconventional, or certainly was at the time. And I just did everything I could in my power to enable Kelly to do pretty much what she wanted to do.
Right. You don't stop me very often, actually, anyway.
True.
So we came then to Argo Life and Legacy.
Yeah.
That in itself, how did the name come about?
That wasn't fun at all.
No.
The most difficult thing to do when you're starting up a new company isn't actually the nuts and bolts of how it's going to work and operate. It's what on earth you call yourself.
Mm.
We had this very, very long list of names. Mine were all wacky and a bit weird and a bit strange. And Simon's very much into Greek mythology, so he came up with all these really bizarre terms that I'd never heard of before. And in the middle of it was Argo.
Well, I think the hard part for law firms, the tradition is that you use the partner's names. And my surname is Crooks.
Not good.
So not good.
Crooks and Co. I mean, there are some odd law firm names out there. I won't mention any of them. But it certainly wasn't going to be my name, no. So we did struggle. It took us a good couple of months to pin it down. But we were trying to find something to, you know, signify guidance, because, you know, what we do, it's providing advice, providing guidance, and providing support. And Argo, as Kelly says, you know, I have a thing for Greek mythology, and Argo is the boat of the Argonauts.
Right.
And it's a mythical, you know, a mythical boat, and it's got part of the boat is it can tell the future. So it was all about guidance and support and looking ahead. I mean, one bit I did want, but we didn't go for it, was the compass of the boat is called the Pyxis or something like that. And I really wanted to do that, but I think it was already taken and it was a bit harsh, whereas Argo just sounded actually quite nice, quite comforting.
Mm-hmm. And I think the life and legacy is the really important bit for us as well, because when we're looking at dealing and helping our clients, it's not just about the problem that they've got immediately on their doorstep. It's about what people think of them when they're not here. And it's creating that lasting legacy and that thought that stays with you in the worst times. So for us, very much the living a good life, being well, enjoying what you're doing and creating a legacy is incredibly important as well. I mean, with what we do, legacy is normally construed with financial sort of benefit under a will. But for us, it's so much more than that. It's the feeling that's left behind when you're not here.
And so you specialise in the elderly, and you say you use the word vulnerable,
yeah,
so much, or is it?
It's very much the two, because what we tend to find is that a lot of people who are elderly, now I don't really know what an old person is,
so you have to be careful.
I don't necessarily think you're old just because you're 60 70 80 or 110. Mm-hmm. I think you are what you are, and this is why we don't like labeling our clients. But we do find that there are an awful lot of people out there in the communities that just need help and support, that aren't vulnerable because they're at risk, but they're vulnerable because they're lonely or they're isolated, and they just need somebody to have a chat to or hold their hand if they're feeling a bit fragile, or comfort them if they're in a bad place, or pick them up and put them back together again if the wheels have fallen off and they need some help and support. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a music break now, but when we come back, we're going to find out the fact that you're, as you've said already, you're not conventional in your approach.
No.
And you're not conventional in terms of your practice.
No.
That things I would expect a solicitor law firm to provide, you go way, way beyond.
Very much so.
And the whole aim is to support your clients, as you say, and hopefully keep everybody young at heart.
Young at heart. Young at heart. Young.
Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio. Channel Radio. Channel Radio.
Who shares wins? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio.
I'm a bright star.
And welcome back. Well, I certainly feel young at heart. And I'm in the studio today. It's me, Jan Mulligan, with Angela Bryars-Stevenson, who's back with us, and our guests from Argo Life and Legacy, Kelly Duke and Simon Crooks. Now, before we went to that break, we were talking about what makes you different in terms of the company. But, of course, we also need to explain what makes you different in terms of your business hats, your titles. Now, just to – let's take me back to basics. We have – a solicitor, we have a lawyer, and we have an attorney. Mm. Those are three terms that I think of people being in law. And obviously in court you get barristers and that sort of thing. Yeah. So can you, in a nutshell, tell us the difference? They're both screwing their faces up here, folks. I've asked them to talk Russian and stand on one leg here. Take us through those terms. So we've got solicitor, lawyer, attorney. Okay. Are there big differences or the subtle differences?
Okay, well, let's start with the easy one, the lawyer.
Right.
A lawyer is an umbrella term for anyone that works in the law that is qualified, I think. So within that, you have different types of lawyers. The easy ones to deal with, so solicitors. Mm-hmm. Solicitors are generally the people that take instructions from clients and provide legal advice. They have certain rights of audience within courts, but they are not generally known as specialist advocates. Okay. So in the higher courts, the Crown Courts and so on, that's where you get barristers. It's a bit blurred because nothing is ever straightforward in the law. But your barristers are your specialist advocates. They are the guys that most people will think of when they're thinking of lawyers.
Wigs, cloaks.
All of the accoutrements and
whatnot.
They're the one. Okay.
The even easier one to deal with is attorneys, which is American. So in American, your solicitors are attorneys. Over here, we also have attorneys, but they're not lawyers.
Okay.
That's something slightly different.
Right.
And then it gets even more complicated because we also have things that are, we have paralegals. And I would say paralegals are people that work within the law that are not necessarily legally qualified.
They can be. They could also be a solicitor on sort of the job. Well, actually one that's training on the job. So what you'll have is perhaps they're doing their degree at university and they want some work experience. So they'll go in as a person who's learning on the ground with what they're doing. So paralegals are slightly funny terms.
It's a bit nebulous because you also used to have articled clerks, which is what I was doing when I was shadowing barristers around London.
That was a really long time ago.
Oh, it's a shame.
Showing
my
your age now.
And then you also have in that mix with sort of what I am as well. So I'm a legal executive. So my training route has been different. With legal executives, you don't necessarily have to have a law degree to practice. You can train on the job and qualify specifically in areas. So lawyers is a very big umbrella, and that's why I tend to call myself a lawyer rather than a legal executive, because people don't really understand the difference between what I do and what a solicitor is.
Right.
But in theory, aside from having a certificate to say that I've practiced and having done the qualifying working period and a legal practice course, I do exactly the same work as solicitors, so there's not too much difference. But
and
people may argue.
And to make it yet again even more complicated, I'm a non-practicing solicitor.
Now, that just opens up a whole can of worms for me. So either non-practicing because you're good enough, you don't have to practice.
Oh, I like that. I like that one. Let's go with that one.
Non-practicing implies that you no longer work. So that's
not
right either.
I know. What it is, it's all down to regulation.
Okay.
So in order to say that I am a solicitor, I both have to qualify as a solicitor and also be regulated by the solicitor's regulation authority. And at present, I am not. So I'm not able to say that I am a full-fledged solicitor, despite all my years of experience and so on. So I can only say that I'm a non-practicing solicitor until such time as we have been regulated.
Changed our authority who looks after us and make sure we don't do our job properly.
And it's, you know, increasingly it's getting, there's a lot more fish in the, in the sea. So on top of that, we are currently regulated, if you like, actually regulators, probably the wrong word, but we are members of the Institute of Professional Will Writers.
Okay.
So I am, at the moment, a fully-fledged will writer.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of what we do or what we know.
Certainly. Okay. So that makes all perfect sense. My head hurts, so we'll move swiftly onwards. And
where's the exam paper?
Yes.
You do need one to work out who you are and what you do, yes?
Yeah, you do.
So we're, it's clear as mud. We know who you are. Now, what you do, Argo Life and Legacy SA, you're not a straightforward law solicitor's practice, as we've already established. So above the standard, the wills, the power of attorneys, you do a whole host of services, provide a whole host of services that I wouldn't dream of necessarily asking my solicitor about. So let's now delve into that.
That's kind of grown on its own, really, again, because sort of we've started really by getting involved with what people would traditionally expect solicitors to do for them. So we will have a client that comes in to see us to ask us to draft their will for them. And when we're picking through their personal circumstances and their family setup and their financial background, we come across lots of other problems, which you shouldn't necessarily shut your mind to as being issues that need to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
So invariably, we find that our clients want us to go and see them at home because they have mobility issues, for example, or they may have a child that has learning disabilities. So actually getting the time out of their day to come into an office to meet a lawyer is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we do, we always do home visits. We deliberately didn't set ourselves up with an office because we need to see our clients in their home.
Mm-hmm.
A, because it allows us to do our job more comprehensively, but B, because it also allows the family to have a relaxed environment to run their meetings. So if they have childcare issues or they're living with somebody that's got dementia and they need to have a, what I call a granny sitter, come out for a couple of hours whilst they're looking after their family member, it just makes it easier. So when we're in the lounge and we're seeing the piles of papers stacked on the dining room table and the carers coming and going and finding things a little bit difficult at home, we can actually spot a whole raft of issues that then need to be looked at. So invariably what we do is we sort of come out with a hit list, if you like. So we'll look at a will, and that will might deal with care planning. So how can we protect assets for care funding purposes in the future? We'll look at powers of attorney and capacity so that we get people lined up so they can help you if you have issues with being able to make decisions about your finance or your health and welfare needs. We'll look at care and support in the home. So do you need people coming in to give your partner a rest if you're, it's a very intense home environment? Do we need to try and help get you into some day centres so you can have a block of time on rest? But it's other things as well. If we can see the papers piled up all around the house, clearly there's an issue with what's going on with the ability to cope with managing finances. And we have lots of different clients who are academically bang on the money. We've got barristers, we've got tax advisors who, as they've got older, find that actually dealing with their own personal paperwork is different,
mm-hmm.
but they might be happy still running the local church community group and doing all the treasury work. But when you look at your own home, factors and emotions get in the way and you
Absolutely.
Struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So we can go in and we can help pull together budgets for them. We can teach widows how to set up direct debits and manage money if they've never been able to do that before because the husband's always dealt with things. We will convert downstairs garages mm-hmm. into wet rooms. We'll put Christmas trees up, do shopping, plan allotments, go out for golf days with clients. It really is whatever they need. And
we're using the term "we will."
We will
convert the downstairs. So is that you up a ladder with your paintbrush?
Well, Simon has just told me this morning he can apparently do plumbing now. So if push comes to shove, he can. We have a very comprehensive network of vetted colleagues that we work with.
Okay.
It's very difficult to get everybody under one umbrella mm-hmm. and under one company and do all the different specialisms because we would be looking at employing nurses and occupational therapists and physios and plumbers and whoever else it is we need, we would have to employ them. So
it's more a case of coordination, isn't it? First, identifying the need
mm-hmm.
and then providing the help to solve it. And I think, you know, the way that it mixes with the legal is that neither of us were very satisfied just looking at wills and powers of attorney and estate administration, there was a very conscious feeling that there was a huge gap that wasn't being covered. And for me, it's actually, I think of the sandwich generation, of which I am a member, where, you know, you've got your own children to look after, you've got full-time jobs, and then you've got elderly parents or soon to be elderly parents, mm-hmm. Who need help and support. And geographically, you might not be there, you may not have the time, and it's incredibly stressful. You know, there's, in one sense, there's almost too much information out there, and you just don't know where to start. So coming to us to look at things like wills and whatever, fine, it then leads down a path, and then we look at the whole situation, the whole circumstances, not just for any individual, but for family members as well.
And can it be the other way around? Do you get clients approaching you that have heard about your services and want the package that you might have noticed rather than the will and the standard stuff?
Yeah, we do absolutely everything. It is very much driven by what our clients need. Mm-hmm. So we have tried to be as flexible as possible, because we don't want to ever go into somebody's house and say, well, we're going to do all of this or none of this for you. What our client wants is what we want to provide them with. So if they want to do bits and pieces themselves and then have us to do some more of the complicated things, fine. Mm-hmm. If they want a package that's tailored for whatever they need, that's fine as well. But invariably what we find is we get the paper trail straight, so we'll deal with wills and powers of attorney, we'll then start to make sure they're getting all their benefits they're entitled to, and then we can give differing degrees and levels of support and life management support according to what that individual needs.
Now, one of the phrases I picked up on was the fact that you believe a care package should be the right package for the individual to achieve what
Absolutely.
They want, and not right for necessarily right for everybody else yeah. around them. But that must be quite a difficult balancing act. So if, for example, the daughter invites you in to take care of the estate of the father, who is still around, and then you find that the father and the daughter's views are not necessarily marrying together, who at that point is your client?
Our client is always the older person in those circumstances, because they are the individual who is giving us instructions. It changes slightly differently if there are capacity issues and where somebody is with having capacity problems, because unfortunately capacity is never a clear-cut thing. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes one end of the spectrum where it's very clear that somebody knows exactly what they're doing. The other end of the spectrum, it's very clear they don't know what they're doing because there's something going on that makes them unable to make a decision.
But also with capacity, people are very good at hiding capacity issues. You know, either through habitual responses or just, I guess, well, is it a form of denial? I think it's just...
It's a mixture of all sorts of different things. Social etiquettes are really the last thing to disappear if somebody has a capacity problem. Everybody can always put on a pretense of being happy and smiley and nice and pleasant, but it's only when you pick beneath the surface that you begin to understand that they're not actually having the conversation that we have in our head about whether it's a good idea or a bad idea to do things. There's no perception of risk or weighing up in the balance whether things are good or not. So if we have a client that has a capacity problem, then we start to act for attorneys and deputies. If they are capable, they're the ones that are leading the road and they're the ones that take the decisions.
Okay.
And for us, it's very much about empowering them to do that.
Yeah.
At no stage do we ever want to take that control away. We want to reinforce it and support them and encourage them to make their decisions for as long as they can.
But one of the most important key things with attorneys and deputies, and yes, we're throwing even more legalese at you, is that they have to act in the best interests of the donor, the client. So in the father-daughter scenario, you know, father's interest is paramount. And we're just simply supporting daughter in that scenario, to act in his best interests.
Right.
If there aren't any capacity issues at all, then fine, daughter's done the introduction, but father is client.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that it's really important to remember when you're dealing with people is actually we don't stand in our shoes and look at what's best for them on the basis of what our opinions are. You stand in the shoes of the individual that needs to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And we have varying different perceptions of what is good quality life and what isn't. I know that I've had clients before who have suffered catastrophic injuries in road traffic accidents, and to us people standing on the outside, actually it might be better if they hadn't had all the medical needs sorted just after the accident to get them better, because their quality of life in our eyes isn't great. But actually, for them, doesn't matter how many injuries or what they suffer, to see their children grow up is what's important. So it's not our perception, it's theirs. And that's very different.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've both touched on having the control, having the individual have their control over what's happening. And that brings me neatly to the question about living wills and where we stand in this country as to how far a living will can be executed. Is that still a level of debate?
No, you can still prepare living wills. What happened was, in 2007, there was this piece of legislation called the Mental Capacity Act that came in, and it introduced a new form called a health and welfare power of attorney. And it slightly has changed actually a lot the landscape in which you're able to make decisions about yourself and what you want to happen to you. Prior to 2007, you did these things called advance directives or living wills. And what these do is, they're written documents or can be verbal statements that set out very clearly what you don't want to happen to you.
Right.
And you have to remember to update it if you change your mind. In 2007, when the health and welfare powers of attorney came in, for the first time ever, you were able to delegate decision making about your health and well-being needs to an attorney. So the attorney is the person that looks after you. Mm-hmm. But they can only make those decisions when you haven't got capacity anymore. Okay. So you're always looking at sort of the specific timing of decisions. But you can still do advance directives. I personally don't think they're as flexible as the health and welfare power, because the advance directive is very regimented. It sets out very clearly, I do not want this to happen to me, and I am signing it on a particular date. The health and welfare power of attorney allows your attorneys to do what we said earlier, stand in your shoes and take that decisions at that critical moment. Mm. So they're very different documents.
I think that is the key thing. I mean, I've always looked at living wills. They are useful. Mm-hmm. Don't get us wrong. But they cover specific issues, specific treatments.
And if you haven't thought about it,
yeah,
it's not covered.
And the way medical science advances, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, the health and welfare power, it is much more flexible. You are just empowering someone that you trust with decision-making power for you. And that's therefore much more flexible and much more all-encompassing. One of the best examples I think I can give with a living will is a Jehovah Witness and blood transfusion. So they could prepare a living will saying, under no circumstances, you know, no blood transfusion. But it is precisely that. It is a specific refusal, if you like,
right,
versus the more flexible empowerment of a health and welfare power.
But also, I think you need to remember with the health and welfare power that it's not just about medical treatment. Mm. We hear a lot of people that say to us, well, we're being told by certain organisations that we can't stay at home. We want to remain living at home in our own environment. My daughter has trouble talking to the opticians or the dentist. The health and welfare power allows your appointed attorneys to do all of those things as well. So they can have the conversation with the care management team. If you're being discharged from a hospital, if you lack capacity to make that decision yourself, your attorney can step in and have the conversation about where you're living. So they can enforce your wishes about end of life care, about where you live, who you see, even down to something as silly as what colour socks you wear if you're a particular.
Yes.
My clients, some of them like to have a whiskey at 11 o'clock in the morning. We can do that under the health and welfare power of attorney.
I'm liking this. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Okay. So we found out you're not the standard high street law practice.
No.
Is there anything you're not doing at the moment that you're bringing on board or you're aiming for in the future?
I have an endless wish list and I'm constantly told that I need to slow down and stop. So I think for us at the moment, it is developing the life management service that we offer to our clients to actually make sure that people know there is an alternative out there. And if something happens to you, you don't have to feel lost and abandoned. There is somewhere you can go. And I think there's going to be a lot more from us with signposting and holding hands in that respect.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, there is a, as Kelly says, she's got a role. a rather large to-do list on that side of things. But there are, you know, a number of complementary services that we would immediately think of. I mean, for me, I think about bereavement services mm-hmm. and bereavement counselling, and actually having more of a, well, rather than, you know, looking ahead to recruitment and how we would grow, it was not going to be traditionally. Yes, we would need some legal advisors on board, but it's more likely to go, as I say, the bereavement counselling route or social care managers, people with health backgrounds. I think there's a lot of scope.
Lots of scope there, isn't there?
When you look at what is out there that isn't being covered. Mm-hmm. And I think our desire is really to be a guide for people so that when they need support, they can simply just come to us.
Right.
And we can point them in the right direction. And I think one of the things that we do differently is that we're not afraid of people helping themselves. Mm-hmm. So there isn't an all or nothing approach. A lot of the way that we approach things is to empower people to help themselves. So yes, you know, with wills, well, less with wills, more with powers of attorney, you can actually go online and download forms from the DirectGov website. To do a power of attorney yourself, and that's absolutely fine. But we would say, okay, let us help you do that. Let us give you the advice so you can do it, knowing that your circumstances have been considered and you're not going to make any silly mistakes.
Right.
Outside of that, you know, if you've got the capability, why shouldn't you do it yourself? Providing you get the advice, then you can then move forward comfortably. Whereas, of course, if you just do it yourself without any advice at all, then you might have got it right. You might not have done.
You just don't know until it potentially goes wrong.
Yeah, and that's the same approach with estate, probate.
Yeah.
You only need legal advice or lawyers to do certain, specific parts of it. The rest of it is a process.
Mm-hmm.
So having got the advice to make sure you're not going to fall into any traps, again, why shouldn't you do it yourself? It's some people find that, actually helpful.
Very different thinking there.
Yeah, but
but then that's what we need, isn't it? Most partnerships are poles apart.
Yeah,
and you come in the middle to provide the best to your clients, and therefore, if you don't agree on everything, that's actually quite a good thing, isn't it? Because you can debate that.
But it comes back down to it's what our clients want.
Yeah.
It's not what we want or what we think they should have. It is very much about them and what they choose to do and the way in which they choose to do it. We're fine with that. No problems with that.
Well, that brings us very neatly onwards. I'm going to not play the next piece of music because we're on a roll here, because you've both used words again to trigger the next topic we're going to talk about, which is empowering and finding out information. And something brilliant that you're launching in the new year is called The Wrinkly Roadshows.
Yes.
And that's just a fantastic title. Again, I dispute the term wrinkly because
I've got plenty and I'm only 39.
There you go. Tell us about The Wrinkly Roadshows.
It's a bit of a strange concept, really, but actually when you look at what we're trying to do, I don't think it is. One of the things that I have noticed from doing the little job that I have for such a long time is that there is a very disjointed flow of information. This isn't just for older people, but it's for families with young children as well. There's no one central area that you can go to find everything you need. And what we're trying to do with the Wrinkly Roadshow is we are trying to bring this information, support and advice to the community level. Mm. We don't want to hold big exhibitions in towns where it's a struggle to get into if the weather's bad or there's no parking or any of those problems. We want to take events to local villages so that we have the people who are able to provide the information, the support and the fun stuff in life on their doorstep. You pop into your local village hall, have a cup of tea, slice of cake with us, have a wander around, see what's on offer, talk to us about all the things that will help and inform you, and see what we can do to make things a little bit better.
So what sort of topics are we talking about?
We have a number of exhibitors that are coming on board with us. Our first roadshow is going to be at the Allington Community Association Centre, which is Longcastle Road in Allington, on the 20th of January.
And that's Maidstone area.
That's Maidstone. we have at the moment lined up. We have legal advisors, we have investment advisors, we're talking to accountancy practices, we have the local Citizens Advice Bureau who are talking to us about coming along on board. We have kit and equipment services, so if you need a stair lift or a bath aid, they're going to be on site as well. We have the Alzheimer's Society are talking to us about coming along and doing a fun, creative workshop. We have people that deal with health issues, so is the posture of your chairs right? All sorts of things like that. We just want to make it as fun and as informative as possible. But also we actually want to see if we can save you a bit of money. So we have people on board who can look at gas and electricity bills and check that your council tax tariff is the right thing. So we're trying to be proactively helpful as well. So we've got so many different people that are interested in coming along. We're hoping that it's going to be a very, very good day to pop in. And the plan is that we roll it out across Maidstone during next year. We're already in talks over in Tunbridge Wells at the moment with venues for Tunbridge Wells round about Easter and rolling out from Easter. We're also looking at the Dartford, Gravesham, Swanley area towards sort of April, May time as well. So there's lots of things going on with the Rinkley Roadshow. But the ultimate goal, I think, with it is to make it an information resource. Mm-hmm. So on the website, what you'll see happening over the next few months is the development of what I'm calling pathways. So if, for example, you have been diagnosed with dementia, well, then you will be able to go on the Rinkley Roadshow website, click on the dementia link, and it will take you down a journey. So from the day you're diagnosed, what should you expect from your healthcare team? What would you be expecting in the way of support from the NHS services? After your discharge, where can you go for help and support? Whether it's domiciliary help in the home, whether it's counselling, because people forget that actually you have emotional needs when you're diagnosed with an illness that need to be sorted. Mm-hmm. Your family need to understand what's going on as well. And we'll take you down that path. So there's one place that you can go to find all the information you need about benefits. It will route you through to the right places to go for benefit advice, grants and adaptation loans. We can have a look at things like that, but it will take you right through to end of life and palliative care, which is something that people need to talk to about in this country. We don't do enough of end of life planning. But in between all of that, you're going to learn where you can go skydiving or wing walking.
Yeah,
or
we've got to put the
swimming
fun stuff in there.
Or so we're going to do that with dementia, we're going to do that with heart attack, we're going to do that with stroke. So we're looking for it to be a really nice community-driven site. People will go on there that we've vetted, we've approved, so you know that if you're coming to the Rinkley Roadshow, you're going to get a really good quality provider.
Excellent.
That can possibly help you.
So in terms of coming as a visitor, is there any charge?
No charge. It's all free.
All free.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You might have to pay for your cup of tea and your cup of coffee in the Crinkly Bottom tea shop, but that's absolutely fine. But no, otherwise you just rock up and see what's there on the day.
And I'm right in saying you're still looking for anybody who's interested in being an exhibitor.
Yeah, we are. What we will be doing on the website is that there is a diary, so you can go and not only see when our Rinkley Roadshow events are being planned on there as well, but all sorts of other things that are going on in your area as well. So over the course of the next couple of weeks, the diary dates will be popping up for the Rinkley Road shows. We're hoping to go to Headcorn, Baltimore, Chelsea. We're in talks with the Royal British Legion Village at the moment, Harwicham, Lenham, all the way sort of across.
So it's very much, as you say, it's Maidstone focused in the first part of the year, and other parts of Kent through the rest of the year, because you are a Kent-based practice. If somebody was not in Kent and was interested in this, presumably from the Rinkley Roadshow website, there'll be some information and links. But would you be tempted to take this on a UK tour?
Well, on my very long list of things to do that I'm told to stop looking at, I would love to conquer the world with the Rinkley Roadshows, right, because I think it's a really great
concept. That would kind
concept.
Of fit in with the way we've done things, because certainly when we set Argo Life and Legacy up, we said, right, we're Kent-based. And then our first client was in Essex, our second client was in Hertfordshire, and our third one was in Croydon.
And, so, and Birmingham over the last week.
Birmingham,
so.
Yeah.
So if somebody's interested, we'll say just get in touch because you'll
give
be there if
shout.
They need you.
Yeah.
Excellent. So we've got some contact details to give people. And as always, we will post them onto our social media sites. But let's go back to basics. So Argo Life and Legacy.
Yep.
Your website is that Argo Life and Legacy. That's all one
it
word
is,
with
yep.
the word and.
Not that funny squiggly
not that
thing.
Funny squiggly yeah. thing. .co.uk.
Yep.
And on Twitter, and we've been tweeting about you. So if all else fails, it's Argo Life Legacy. You can drop the and on that one. And also Facebook, LinkedIn individually.
Yeah,
LinkedIn yes, because
well,
you
yeah.
mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
So we'll post all of that if anybody's interested in the legal side of things. But for the Wrinkly Roadshow, now we understood there was a debate on the spelling, wasn't there? You Googled,
yeah,
you checked.
I have Googled, and apparently there is no E on Wrinkly.
Right.
So it's a disappointment.
WWW.
There is, it's too late.
Wrinkly Roadshow, that's all one word. So that's WRINKLY roadshow.com.
That's right.
And the Twitter handle is Wrinkly R,
that's
capital
right.
R at the end of that. Again, Facebook, email, phone numbers, we'll be posting all of those.
Lovely.
But as you said, the first Wrinkly Roadshow is on Wednesday, the 20th of January, 9:30 to 8 p.m. So 9:30 a.m. through to 8 p.m.
We held it later in the evening because it's not just the older people,
absolutely,
whoever they are or whatever they want to call themselves, that need to come along. It's actually, as Simon's already mentioned, it's the sandwich generation. Yeah. So if mm-hmm. you have older parents and you're worried about what's going on with them and you want to find out information, come along after you've been to work. That's why we extended it out into the evening, because what we do is actually relevant for everybody.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're planning for your future as well as looking after your parents.
Yeah. Now, that first event, as you mentioned, is Allington Community Association Centre. It's Castle Road, Allington, Maidstone. We'll pop that onto the website as well. And use Strapline, support, advice, on tour for the older generation to the local community.
It is.
Very good. Thank you both so much for your time this afternoon. It's been a pleasure having you. Hope
Thank
you've
you.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
They haven't argued. They've supported each other well. We like it. They're a good partnership and team. Thank you both very much. Now, we have oodles of information because we have an ending competition, we have a starting competition, and we have a few events. And my partner of crime in the corner, see, partner of crime, legal, she's been very quiet all afternoon, and we're going to let her loose on the airways now. Mm-hmm. Over to you, Angela.
I just wanted to add, though, that I think we should also pass this information over to the Business Bunker radio show, which is on a Tuesday on China Radio from 1 till 1:30. No, brain's gone, Jen. It's on a Tuesday from 1 till 3 on Channel Radio. Because we could send, if you've got a press release or some sort of email, we could send that through and they could read that out again to just get maximum exposure and promotion, because I think it's a fantastic event.
Yeah,
and Paul Andrews,
really
one of his businesses, is actually based in Maidstone. So again, if we can, you know, ensure the community is as much notified as possible, we will be heavily promoting it.
And we will be there.
And we will be there, hopefully. If you may recall, when I dropped in and out, from, as I say, again, thank you very much for your support, with my recent bereavement with my mother. But I did pop in and had a show with Shirley Palmer, the wonderful lady that came over from the States. And if you remember, she did a wonderful book offer competition, and she said that she would she left us three books. Now we've had the results. Shirley's got back to me, and actually we've also gone with the most people that have retweeted around Shirley's book, and so we actually have three winners who I will notify via email. But if you're listening, congratulations to Sarah Newell of Pillory Barn, who tweeted many times about the book, and Shirley Palmer, our wonderful Char Murphy of Women in Business Radio Live on a Thursday. So Char Murphy of Ruby Marketeers, she's also another winner. And Victoria Shepherd, who is Media Bunny V, based in Mayfair up in London. So well done to all three of you. I will organise and get your books sent to you in the post. Bear with me, Father Christmas may get in the way, and his Santa sleigh may interrupt the delivery, and you may not get it till the new year, but it will, I assure you, be posted, and I'll contact you offline about that.
And congratulations to your winner.
So yes, well done, and thank you everyone for retweeting and getting involved on social media with that. And of course, we have another book author, our wonderful, again, a huge supporter of Channel Radio and of Who Cares Wins Radio, amongst other shows, is the wonderful Miriam. And I just had some little details here that Jan has passed me. If you remember, Miriam was on last year's show.
Yes.
She came on. And Miriam now has two books out. She has one that's actually a pocketbook, as well as a bigger book, Shattered Dreams and Scorpions at Midnight. We have retweeted some of her launch shows. She is offering that those two books will be donated, given as a gift to a winner who will, and it starts from today, the competition, so get your thinking caps on. We want to hear from you, and we want to know an inspiring quote that you either find motivating and or use it in your everyday life, perhaps as a motto, or it just every day you get up in the morning, that's what you have posted on your office wall. So what inspiring quote, what is it inspires you? What is it? So we want to hear from you via Twitter or Facebook. You can use our Facebook page and post it on there, or tweet us, or use the email, which is studio@whocareswinsradio.co.uk. And then we will announce the winner live on the Who Cares Wins radio show in February, the 1st of February, when Miriam will be here to draw that winner out, and a big announcement. So get tweeting, get contacting us, and think about inspiring quotes that you find motivating and that you use in your everyday life.
And if your quote is too long for Twitter.
Yes. So Facebook and email.
They would be the good ones. And if you are going to tweet, if you just do hashtag inspire, then we'll be able to sift those out.
That's right.
From all of our others. We do get drowned occasionally.
I will remind you all on Twitter. I will remind you all on Facebook how the competition is being run. But again, just to announce this from today. So thank you, Miriam. We look forward to seeing you. And I do especially, because I've yet to actually see her in person.
Lovely lady. You'll enjoy chatting.
Mm.
And a couple of events, I believe.
Yes, yes. One thing, big thank you to All Sign Solutions,
yes,
who did our banner for the various shows that we do. They've sent us a calendar for next year.
And we're ready.
Marvellous. I can start putting the guests on there. and we feature in that calendar. So, yes, get your All Sign Solutions calendar. But thank you very much for your support, Linda. We have an event. Remember, next year, February the 5th, Friday, February the 5th, is Wear It, Beat It, is the hashtag on Twitter. The British Heart Foundation, who are also coming on our show. We again have hooked up with them. Yep, hooked up at the Wellbeing Symposium, which sounds like you were very busy there, Jan. on the 16th of January, they join us. But of course, we want to promote, to start thinking about wearing it and beating it. Put yourself in the picture. So you can start now, but it's Friday the 5th of Feb, is wearing red, posting your pictures and using on hashtag, especially the Wear It, Beat It hashtag. To start raising awareness and obviously that all important fundraising support for the British Heart Foundation.
And if you don't know where to get started, Kim told us in the Wellbeing Symposium interview that I did with her that there are fundraising packs and planning packs available.
Oh, good.
And if you're still in at the start, there are additional freebies that they're giving away. I think the first either 1,000 or 5,000 people get a free British Heart Foundation bandana.
Ooh.
So if you get one of those, we said at the time, take a photo, send it in, and we'll promote that you've got it via the
Who Cares
Wounds promotion.
Yeah, we'd love to know. And anything to do with community, don't forget we have the community show on a Thursday with Laura. But if there's something that we can add and aid and promote, then anything with health and wellbeing, yeah, go for it.
Absolutely. Now, next week's show, we're hoping, again, I like to use the word, if technology allows, we've got some more Wellbeing Symposium snippets.
Yes, I'm going to press the button, Jan, for you.
So
I'll be in the studio. I'll be here with my Santa teddy bear.
In the lead up to Christmas, we appreciate that some of you may be downing tools already. But for those of you who are not, the show will continue. And when we're not live in the studio, we will play either new shows that you haven't heard before that we've been pre-recording, or you might have some selective repeats.
Yeah,
so looking
so there's
forward
something
to
you can hear our dulcet tones if you wish.
Absolutely. Now, I have to give an advance notice that it may be, I might be missing for part of January and February. The world of work has beckoned, and I've got a contract coming up, and that's threatening to start early in the new year, and it may take up my Mondays. So I won't know until the new year proper. But if you don't hear from me in the first few weeks, I'm still around. I'll bug Angela and send her my news. But she'll be here running the studio that she founded 3 years ago. Can you believe that? It's going to be 3 years next year.
Nearly. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it wouldn't be without the support, especially in my absence. You know, life does throw us curveballs along the way. So a big thanks to you, Jan, for covering my
welcome.
Absence when I was plucked away and then I chose to go and hide in a cave.
Well, we all need a cave occasionally, as I'm sure Simon and Kelly know with their clients sometimes need a cave.
That's right.
We need people around us to sort of support us in that cave and then entice us out again. So welcome back.
Big thanks. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're going to play out today with a couple of, I can't think of the word. I've been chatting for an hour and the brain's gone blank. Still young at heart type songs is what I'm trying to say here. Thank you again to Simon. Thank you again to Kelly. Pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. And I won't be here next week because I do have another commitment. So I'm going to wish you all a fantastic Christmas, Happy New Year, and I hope to be back with you soon. But I'll be thinking of you if I'm not. Happy week, everybody. Bye,
bye
for
everyone.
Now.
See you next week.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand.
You can sit around and wait for the phone to ring, waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.